Free Speech Radio News is produced at Pacifica Stations KPFA in Berkeley, California, and WBAI in New York City, with headlines produced at community station WMNF in Tampa, Florida. I'm Jackson Allers.
Hello, this is Renaissance. You're listening to 90.1 FM Stereo WUSB Stony Brook.
Okay, that wasn't my fault. All right, every time I hit that damn button, it does that. And we're going to start this all over again.
Hello. This is Renaissance.
All right. We don't have to do that again. Whatever happened to them anyway, Renaissance? Has anyone heard from Renaissance? Seriously, I'm concerned. Where are they? Haven't heard a thing from them in a long time. Okay, it's 6 o'clock, 6:01 now. Thanks to the button, it's 6:01. We're going to hit the button again, and the next thing you hear will be the theme for Off the Wall. No, that's no good either, because it started in the middle. We can stay here all day and get this right. Okay. See, we have this, our regular CD machine, which is bad enough, is broken, so we have this other one, which, you know, I was getting along with until today. All right, how do I get it back into the mode where it's not in the middle of the song? Let's stop, how about that? Okay. And then I have to go to this track over here. Don't you just love high tech? You know, when we had records, when we had, you know, vinyl, I just put the needle down and that would be it. And if it messed up, it would be my fault. But, all right, did I get it right? No, that's not right. That can't be right. That's not the right amount of time. Hang on. I'm getting the wrong track now. Okay, yes. It's now 6:02, time for Off the Wall.
Welcome to the Sprint Hotline. In order to direct your call, please enter your home telephone number, including area code, or your Sprint customer number, followed by the pound key.
Do you remember when you used to call a phone company and they'd answer right away? Especially the long-distance companies. They were just eager to help. Eager to make money. But now...
I'm sorry, we did not receive a response. Please try again.
In order to direct your call, don't have a touch-tone phone.
Please enter your home telephone number, including area code, or your Sprint customer number, followed by the pound key.
See, I went through this charade the other day, and I just couldn't believe, you know, I didn't feel like hitting tones. It's not that I don't have a touch-tone phone. I have many touch-tone phones. I just didn't feel like hitting any buttons. I wanted to speak
for
to a human.
For Sprint long distance,
yeah.
Press 1.
You know,
for Sprint
they don't
local,
get it. They don't get the hint.
Press 2. To take advantage of low rates for local toll calling, press 3.
She recorded that on a different day.
Yes. Press 4. For Earthlink Sprint Internet, press 5.
Yeah, now all the companies are merging together. You get Earthlink in here now and Sprint and all kinds of crazy things like that. But, you know, I'm not hitting any buttons. I just wanted to speak to a human being. I've been on the phone now for a minute and not even a clue.
We did not receive a response.
Recorded apologies.
Please try again. For Sprint Long Distance, press 1. For Sprint Local, press 2. To take advantage of low rates for local toll calling, press 3. For Sprint PCS, press 4. For Earthlink Sprint Internet, press 5.
Guess what I'm going to do?
I'm sorry, we did not receive a response. Please try again. For Sprint Long Distance, press 1. For Sprint Local, press 2. To take advantage of low rates for local toll calling, press 3. For Sprint PCS, press 4. For Earthlink Sprint Internet, press 5.
Now, I've been on the phone for 2 minutes, and I haven't even been put on hold yet. I mean, come on already. Can't they put you on hold and then give you the options?
You are now leaving our automated system, and your call will be placed in queue for the next available representative. To ensure Sprint's quality service, your call may be monitored or recorded. One moment, please.
You get the sense when she said quality, she was putting that in quotes? That's what it seemed like to me. Okay, so now we're moving to hold, which is great, you know? That's progress. We're getting online now.
To introduce Sprint Complete Sense, a great new calling plan from Sprint that includes unlimited local, local toll, and domestic long-distance calls.
Yeah, we're not giving you an advertisement here. And if you do take advantage of it, you'll have as much trouble hearing your called party as you are hearing this advertisement right now. Say goodbye. That's what I'd like to do. On the phone for over 3 minutes now.
All of our representatives are currently assisting other customers. Thank you for your patience. Your account representative will assist you as soon as they are available. Don't have time to wait? You can manage your Sprint account through the internet. To register, go to sprint.com/myaccount/LD, or you may remain on the line for a representative.
You see, by making it as difficult as possible, of course you're going to go and get on the internet and try to do everything there, and then there'll be less need for people. Hey, check it out. My Sprint phone is ringing. Okay. Well, we're not going to talk to them. All right. But we're still on hold. And it's funny because... I was trying to make a change to a Sprint account, and I did it online at first. And after
Sprint Long Distance, where we now offer unlimited long distance and local services in your area. My name is Lola Wakefall. May I please have your area code followed by your telephone number?
I'm sorry. What company was this?
Sprint.
That's funny. I dialed MCI. You know, it must be because of the merger. Are you guys? Are you connected to MCI now? Because I heard MCI bought out Sprint today.
No, sir.
It was on CNBC. Do you know anything about that?
No.
Oh, really? Oh, maybe you're not supposed to know about it then. Because I called MCI and it went to Sprint. That's weird. Okay, you know what? I'm going to check into this a little more. But you haven't heard anything else about it?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Sorry for the inconvenience then.
Okay, that's the same. Thank you for calling Sprint Long Distance.
Okay, except I called MCI, but never mind. And you see, that'll get them talking in the office now. And I just love to cause a little trouble. 8 minutes after 6 o'clock, and we haven't even started yet. Okay, our phone number. Let's do it differently this week, because last week we didn't get to any of the phone calls, you know, because all the phone calls came in while we were reading news stories and didn't get to talk to anybody, and a lot of people were upset by that. I can understand it. So let's take the phone calls first, or let's start taking the phone calls first. Area code 631-632-WUSB is our phone number. And if you don't call, then you have no one to blame but yourself when you hear me babble for the entire hour. Programming note, we only have one more episode of this program after this week before extended break from this country, where I'm wandering around Eastern Europe for about 6 weeks. Yeah. What's going to happen in place of this show? I'm not sure. Either it's going to be a different show, either someone's going to be filling in. It might be repeats. It's anyone's guess. By next week, we should know for sure. But I figured I'd let people know that in case they're saving their phone call for, say, August or something like that. Well, it's not going to work out because I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be somewhere on the road. The other program, Off the Hook, is going to continue being done from the road via telephonic connections. That kind of arrangement wouldn't work here. What I'd really like to do, ultimately. This isn't going to happen this time, so forget it. You know, don't send me emails saying, oh, yeah, you can do this. I'm sure I can. It's just going to be a real pain in the ass. But in the future, what I'd like to do, maybe next year when I'm planning on going on the Trans-Siberian Express, which would be a lot of fun, what I'd like to do is simply carry around a small device, not a big computer or anything like that, a small device that has, say, my entire, you know, record library of 60 gigs of music in it, and then some way of recording sound, recording me, say, talking like I'm talking now, except I'd be walking through the streets of Calcutta or something. And, you know, occasionally I'd find a piece of music that would be apropos to the moment, and I would say, okay, we're going to break for, you know, for this piece of music, and that's what we do, except I'd be walking around the streets, you know, somewhere, in some crazy place. And instead of hearing, you know, something over the telephone, it would sound like I was right there in the studio, because the studio would be going with me. Yeah, the only question is how would the sound from that studio get here, and I guess, you know, we'd have to rely on FedEx or UPS or something to ship a CD. Yes, I'd have to have a CD burner with me as well in order to make this work out. You see, it's very complicated, but it could be a lot of fun. And it's not going to happen this time, but it might happen next time. I think that would be kind of cool. Again, our phone number is 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. Give us a call. Tell us if you have any comments on world events, things going on in your life, previous shows, the future, that kind of thing. And talking about playing things that are apropos, if I was in that position right now, or I was walking around and there was just something that that I felt that I had to hear, something that fit into the moment, I guess what I would pick would be what I refer to as the George W. Bush theme. Yes, that is the George W. Bush theme for this week, as more and more the evidence comes out that we are being lied to in a big way. And, you know, it's funny because there are so many people who have been saying this for such a long time, you know, since before this whole war thing began. People were saying, hey, where's the evidence? You know I was one of them. Where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Where's the linkage between all these things? And, you know, now that it's all... Well, I don't want to say it's over because it's anything but over, but now that we're in so far that it's impossible to get out without severe damage, now everyone's asking those questions. Makes you think, you know, if you had listened to alternative voices, if more people had listened to alternative voices, asked more questions, instead of blindly following the march to war, we wouldn't be in the shape that we're in right now. And what shape is that? Bad shape. Very, very bad shape. I don't know if anybody caught Tony Blair being really questioned very severely by the opposition. Let's put it that way. Bush has got nothing like that yet. Hopefully one day he will. The questions remain. Where was this evidence of Saddam Hussein trying to obtain uranium, or the existence of weapons of mass destruction, or the real reasons why the United States felt it necessary to go in there and topple the regime and not have any kind of a plan on how to get out, on how to stabilize the regime? You know where we are now? We're in a situation where we have this country that we're supposed to be running that we cannot run because we don't have the experience, we don't have the support of the people, and we're quickly losing the will. Let's see if the CD player works and does what I told it to do, which is repeat that song over and over and over again. Good, okay, all right. You see, technology can be your friend. Yes, another American soldier was killed, six others wounded in a rocket-propelled grenade attack early Monday. You know what's interesting about this? I read this last week. This isn't the same story. It might as well be the same story. But every day or so, another U.S. soldier gets killed, sometimes more than one, depending on if it's a holiday or something. I don't know. And it's you know, not to make light of it or anything like that. It's a horrible thing. It's exactly what the anti-war movement was trying to prevent. Believe it or not, people in the anti-war movement care about U.S. soldiers, and they did not want to see them being massacred or picked off one by one or whatever it is that's on the horizon. And it's an awful thing to see. But what's interesting about this, and tell me if you've noticed anything different. These stories that are coming out of U.S. soldiers being killed every now and then, every couple of days you see the story. You notice something about them? They no longer have any names. Yeah, these soldiers aren't being named. I mean, I've been looking for it. I've been looking in the news. And I keep seeing how, you know, this is how this soldier was killed. Last week it was a soldier who had a gun pointed to the back of his head at a university. And now it's a soldier in an ambush. And there were several more between last week and this week. They always just say a U.S. soldier was killed, but they never give the names. Now, during the war, when someone was captured or someone was killed, we found out pretty quickly who they were. But now that the war is over, and I'm putting that in quotes, it's just an anonymous person. I think the reason for that is that it kind of makes it less emotional for the people back home because it's not attached to a name. It's not attached to a person, to a family, to a town. It's just a soldier. Just, you know, a figurehead of the U.S. government over there somewhere paying the ultimate price for bad leadership, lies, and a really negative situation that is continuing over there. And just today, I believe it was announced that that one of the brigades or whatever they call them over there is not coming home after all. After being postponed a couple of times, they're told now that they're going to be staying over there indefinitely. It's funny, watching the different way that story was reported on the BBC, for instance, they were actually there with the soldiers, and they were talking about how unhappy they were, how angry, in fact, they were about what was going on, about the fact that they kept getting their return home postponed. And on CNN, and I imagine the other networks that are even more to the right of CNN, they were just talking about how these soldiers were willingly continuing to stay over there, and they'll stay as long as is necessary, and it could be forever. You gotta wonder. You really gotta wonder. What happened with this story today? I saw this last night. The Justice Department refused a federal judge's order. Isn't that great when you can refuse a federal judge's order? Well, the Justice Department did it. They refused it. That would have allowed terrorism suspect Zacharias Moussari, and I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong, access to a captured al-Qaeda leader on Monday, citing national security concerns. The government said it recognized U.S. District Judge Leone Brinkema could throw out the case against Moussari, the only person charged in connection with the attacks of September 11th. Her decision is expected today, right now, and I haven't heard the decision. I've been looking for it. It's like the story disappeared. Like, can you imagine that? Throwing out the case against this guy? Someone that they suspected would be the 20th hijacker? Because the federal government won't turn over information. No, it's not that they won't turn over information. It's that they won't allow this suspect to question another suspect. Now, get the reason for this. National security. Yeah. I mean, they say, okay, listen to this. Moussari, a French citizen of Moroccan descent, was jailed on an immigration violation. We've all heard this. Prosecutors say allowing testimony from the al-Qaeda person, Bin al-Shib, would damage national security, particularly because it would disclose classified information to Moussari and the public. Now, explain this to me. How is it an al-Qaeda leader has classified information? I mean, do you think maybe if he's in al-Qaeda, one of the things that he's going to do is tell people what he knows that's classified about the U.S. government. I mean, he's already, you know, a terrorist leader. So he's probably told some other people about it over wherever he's being held. And before then as well. At this point, you know, I think maybe it makes sense to get it out in the open, find out what's going on. Because we certainly haven't been getting that from anyone that's representing us. The Justice Department said the deposition, which would involve an admitted and unrepentant terrorist questioning one of his al-Qaeda confederates, would necessarily result in the unauthorized disclosure of classified information. So these guys have classified information. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe it's best if we listen to what they have. And that way we know, you know, what classified information is no longer classified. Because I got to tell you, if al-Qaeda has the information, it's not classified anymore. You might as well tell the American public. Let's at least be on an equal footing with al-Qaeda. I mean, I think that's fair. The enemy combatant, which is the term for the captured al-Qaeda leader, is a source for intelligence, and the executive branch in a decision entitled to deference has determined that everything he says is properly classified. That's according to prosecutors. It's doublespeak. I've never heard things like this before, even in fiction. Enemy combatant has nothing but classified information coming out of his mouth. Unbelievable. And of course, he's being held in a place that we're not allowed to know where that is. It's a secret place, probably being tortured there as well, which is fine with the American public because he is an enemy combatant after all, which means that he could be guilty of anything and we don't have to know what. And he's not a citizen either, so he's not entitled to any rights. And one way the Bush administration may get out of all this is simply by labeling Mosari as an enemy combatant and doing the exact same thing to him. Because the American judicial system is just, it's too caught up on rights and, you know, disclosure of information and due process and all that kind of thing. Yeah. Let's stick them all in Guantanamo Bay and, you know, justice will be served somehow as long as we don't have to know about it. Okay. Again, I'm sorry. The same thing happened. Calls came in while I was talking. You see, once I get started, it's hard to stop. So I'm going to allow a two-minute window here. It's 6:22, all right? At 6:24, I'm going to begin, another tirade of something, all right? And at that point, I can't say when I'm going to stop. So if you're going to call, call now, 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. I mean, it's funny because I always get email after the show saying, oh, I tried to call and I couldn't get through. Of course you can get through. There's five open lines, five wide open lines. Anybody can get through anywhere in the world. Yeah, there's a slight delay for the signal to get to the internet, no more than a minute or so. You have 2 minutes. Well, actually, you have a minute 30 seconds now. So, all right, look, we have a call. Again, 631-632-WUSB 9872. And good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very good. It sounds like another police action.
Yeah, well, you know, we haven't actually declared a war since when? A long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's always police actions and various things.
Right, history repeats itself. We're doing it again.
Yeah. Hey, are you the old brain damage caller?
I got a little gray.
What's that?
Is that what you said, a little gray?
No. Are you an old caller?
I called a couple times.
Okay. Have you called years ago is what I'm asking.
I called years ago.
To brain damage.
Pardon?
Have you called to a show called Brain Damage?
No.
Okay, because your voice sounds familiar. You sound like somebody else. Okay.
Maybe we went to different schools together.
That's always possible.
Right. I was a guy that one time said, called up, hey, just enjoy your life, do what you can. You're not going to be able to do anything with the Bush people or anything like that.
No, you can just play songs in the background and dedicate it to them, but...
Oh, yeah, it's always fun to do, you know, bitch and everything, but, it ain't going to get anywhere.
Well, you see, I disagree. I think it does get someplace when people speak out. I mean, at least you know you said something. At least you know you tried. I mean, I feel terrible about what's going on, but I'm glad that I was there for the marches and the demonstrations and things like that because I know I spoke out, and I feel somewhat vindicated that the things I was saying and things so many people were saying then have at least some element of truth.
I think
it would be good for the anti-war movement to continue to have demonstrations and speak out now that things, you know, appear to be, coming out the way they said they would come out.
Capitalism won. All I do is to make the dollar. No matter what you do, and you're going to be put on the pedestal. Eventually, remember the Jose Escobar guy?
Uh-huh.
He'll be our next Kennedy, and we'll make royalty to him.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
you know, I mean, this is the way it is. Money rules the whole thing. And capitalism won, i.e. Russia, right? All I do now is to make the money and just take care of yourself.
Well, you know, that's a way of looking at it, but, you know, I think justice should also be focused on.
When the statesmen come down and say, are you one of them? And I say, oh, no, I'm going to hide. I wasn't one of them. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks for calling. 631-632-WUSB. That's our phone number. You know, it's very tempting to resign yourself to the way things are. I know. You're faced with it every day, but... you just can't. You have to be speaking out all the time. Otherwise, you just kind of wither up and accept anything that happens to you. And that's just not right. At least, not to me, it isn't. All right, so is it George Tenet's fault? The head of the CIA. You did know that, didn't you? He was the head of the CIA. Yeah. Well, the Bush administration has pretty much blamed the CIA for giving them false information about how Iraq was attempting to buy uranium from Niger, and that famous 16 words that were said in the State of the Union address this year. The president had every reason to believe that the text presented to him was sound. These 16 words should never have been included in the text written for the president. That's according to CIA Director George Tenet, who is taking the fall for this. The CIA director also said, I am responsible for the approval process in my agency. Nice, noble words. But you know what? This is the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency. And George W. Bush, like it or not, is the President of the United States. And the address was a State of the Union address. Now, I may be a bit slow, but somehow I think that the Central Intelligence Agency would be a little more careful than to give the President of the United States blatantly false information that he was going to read in the State of the Union address. I mean... You know, I think a fourth grader would know that much. So it's very admirable this guy is falling on his sword for George W. Bush, but I don't believe it for a second. For one thing, a week later, Colin Powell was giving an address, I believe, to the United Nations. I was driving cross-country listening to this, trying to listen to it. It's one of the few times I'm actually trying to get NPR stations driving around in the mountains because they only last about, you know, half a mile, then you got tuned to another frequency. And I was listening to this hearing and trying to hear all the things that he was saying. And he most definitely did not mention that Iraq was trying to buy uranium from Niger. He did not mention that. Now, that's a pretty big accusation. That's a pretty big smoking gun. For him not to mention it means he must have known it wasn't true. You know, he knew it wasn't true. That's why he didn't mention it. He probably always knew it wasn't true. Now, did the Bush administration take back what it said? Did they say, you know what, we were wrong about this? No, they didn't say that. In fact, they didn't say anything until a week or two ago. Yeah, not a thing. They would have gained a lot of credibility, I think, if they had said, oh, we made a mistake. But they didn't say anything. So you got to figure, did they know they made a mistake, or did they just not care? Either way, I do not accept what what they're saying right now. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I think the rest of the world sees this, and I think a lot of people here see this as well. All right, let's get to some listener mail. And hopefully some more listener phone calls. Do I have to check to see if the internet signal is working? Don't make me do that. 631-632-WUSB. Let's hear from somebody out there in, some faraway place. And don't be afraid to talk about something else. You don't have to talk about this. I know it's depressing. We could talk about my upcoming trip to Eastern Europe. That's nice and fun. Oh, yeah, I'm going to some interesting thing. I just, actually, right before the show, I picked up some mail. Yeah, I have something very exciting that I just got. I have a Russian visa. Yeah, this is what it sounds like. They actually, they put it inside your passport. I had to send my passport away to get a Russian visa, which is basically an invitation to the country. Someone saying, hey, you're allowed to come to the country during this period of time. And now I have to do the same thing for this country called Belarus, which used to be part of the Soviet Union. Now it's its own country. And from what everyone tells me, it's a very scary place. All right, I have some phone calls. I'm going to take these. But I want to talk about Belarus a little more. And good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Eric Corley.
How you doing?
Jim, a.k.a.
You're the person I thought the other guy was.
Well, I'm the old doomsayer.
Yeah, but didn't you think his voice sounded like your voice?
Oh, it wasn't me, I promise.
Well, I know it wasn't you, but to me it sounded similar.
Oh.
But it's good to hear the real voice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to plunge today into the depths of despair.
Well, no, I mean, we've done that so many times in the past.
Where's Mr. Radio, though? He used to...
You know, if you keep asking that question, he's going to show up. Is that what you really want?
Probably dead from an overdose of something.
Well, I mean, I don't wish anything like that. It's just, you know, enough turmoil in the past.
I got a little annoyed that you are doing what a lot of other people are doing. You're quoting, I hate to say this, but CNN is becoming like the standard by which everybody's quoting them. I saw it on, I can't even watch that news.
Well, I can't either, but what else do we have here?
Well, what happened to the news hour with Jim Lehrer? I mean, that's real discussion. That's real.
Well, okay. What time is it on?
On from 6.
Uh-huh. And what time am I on?
On 21, and from 7 to 8 on 13.
Okay, so if I careen home really fast, I can maybe make the repeat showing on the other channel. But the thing is, you know, I turn on the TV at all different times, like 4 in the morning. I like to see something intelligent then. That's why I'm very happy I've got the BBC, which nobody else here can get because they don't have a Canadian dish. But CNN is the only like thing I can turn on at 4 in the morning and maybe get something somewhat sane, although lately it hasn't been.
And that the screen is so busy that
yep,
it's childish and annoying and juvenile. I can't even tune it in anymore. They got the scroll on the bottom. They got... It's so rude if there's somebody on there talking. I don't know why the people that are on the air don't find that rude.
It's especially funny when they're doing a story and the focus of the story is in the lower part of the screen. And if the engineer is awake, they turn off the crawl so that you can see what it is they're holding in their hand or whatever. But sometimes you miss the entire point of the story because of that stupid crawl.
I wanted to say that there's a post office in Great Neck.
Mm-hmm.
Had gone in there to get a stamp about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And they had a TV in there, pointed at the line.
Yeah, you know, that's really annoying.
And they had CNN on. And I got up to the desk, and I was hoping I wouldn't get this dorky guy, because I knew he was going to be a problem if I asked him. why in the world, I mean, what precipitated a television set being placed in a post office? This is, you know, gives me... I don't give an S, you know.
Well, it's also calling your patriotism into question, not wanting to have a television set on all the time.
I said that's the problem. Too many people today don't give a hoot. And then it spilled into a loud argument where I called him an asshole. I mean, you know.
You called a federal employee that?
Well, I'm a federal employee.
Oh, okay. Well, then you were loud.
Well, It got really loud, and then the whoever was in charge came bounding out, and I said, you know, this is great. You have a, you know, I look like a complete fool in there because nobody in there had any idea what I was upset about. You know, I says I don't want to be bombarded with commercialism and have things sold to me while I'm waiting in line in a post office. I use it as time to reflect.
Yeah, you're the customer, you know. They should respect the customer.
They don't. They said, what would you have us put on? Jerry Springer?
So, wait, they didn't get it. They thought you wanted them to turn the channel. They didn't understand you didn't want a TV at all.
real shame, and I really don't know. It's probably still there, but the point is, I don't think what they're doing is legal. First of all, I don't know where the money's coming from to run the set. Second of all, not allowed. Now, here's the gist of it. Is it gist or gist?
Well, I say gist, but you can say gist if you want.
Electioneer on federal property, because a long time ago when...
election campaign things.
Station.
Uh-huh.
They electioneer mainly the two-party system, because a long time ago when the presidential election came out, I put all my Ralph Nader election stuff on my door, and my boss pulled it down. He said, you can't do that on government property. So that came to mind when I saw the television on in the post office. And if you can ever, if you keep this show on the air and it ever occurs to you to talk to somebody who would know how to go about this legally, because you need to go after them. I would like to make it tough for them. I don't like the fact that I went in this post office and was subjected to commercial television.
Well, let's start with this. Do you have a problem telling us which post office it is?
Say again?
Do you have a problem telling us which post office this is?
Oh, not at all. It's on Middle Neck Road, I believe it is.
What town?
It's probably Great Neck.
Okay.
I think it happened October. 2 years ago. I can't remember. I know.
This is 3 years ago. Okay. Well, maybe they don't have the TV set anymore. Maybe they have a full, like, you know, entertainment system by now.
It was, they had this thing beaming at you right in light. I was so turned off by this.
Well, you know, I don't want to name specifics here because we're talking about a place of business, but there's a certain Mexican-themed restaurant in Port Jefferson that has a TV on all the time. In fact, they have things like Jerry Springer on all the time. And I just wonder, what in God's name, you know, I'm there to, like, you know, have a nice, you know, snack or something. I don't want to have this stupidity beamed at me, but, I don't feel like, you know, like saying something to the person who's about to make my food that I don't like that, so who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, for the sake of anybody listening who runs a business, I think most people really don't come to your place for that. They can watch that at home if they want to, but...
That's great. You're intelligent and you're aware, but most people aren't.
Oh, God. I mean, how can anybody not see this? You know, I'm going to Eastern Europe, I'm going to Russia, and I know that they wait on very long lines there for everything, and I know when I wait on those long lines, I'm going to have time to think. I'm not going to have a TV set blaring at me. It's going to be quiet. People are just going to be, you know, shuffling their feet and looking down. And it's going to feel like a breath of fresh air. It really will.
I agree. It's because it's time to reflect. Or you could bring a book if you like to read.
Sure. They encourage reading. You know, if you read a book online here, oh, boy.
I wish you could have saw the stares I got from the customers in line from when I did this, because it really got loud at one point.
Yeah.
I'm outspoken about...
Well, you know, okay, there's a bunch of things we can do. First of all, identifying the post office, I think, is a good thing. And then if you keep having people going in there buying a single one-penny stamp, you know, and complaining about the TV set every time they do, that'll get the message across. But here's another thing, and this is my more technologically evil-minded way of dealing with it. You look at the brand of the TV set, and you go out and you buy a remote for that brand.
Well, that's a great idea. I never thought of that.
And every time you come into that place, you turn the damn thing off, or you turn to another channel or something.
Well, don't get me started on that, because right now I'm trying to build a cell phone jammer so that when I'm in restaurants, I can knock people's phones out, because I'd like to eat in peace.
Well, you've actually just given me an idea for something I'm going to do. And, you know, I'm going to, when I find something like that in an establishment that I don't like, I'm going to make a note of that particular brand, and I'll buy a universal remote. And, of course, I don't want to stand there programming it. I just want to be able to, like, you know, hit the button. They'll have to search everybody in the place to figure out who's doing it.
are you going to come back when you go off? Are you coming back again?
Oh, gee, I don't know. Everyone always asks me that. Well, you know, it depends. If I'm detained by the authorities in Belarus, which everyone seems to be thinking that I'm going to be, or if I'm robbed on the train from St. Petersburg to Moscow, which everyone is also telling me is going to happen, who knows? Who knows? It's an adventure. You live for adventures.
Where are you getting the funding for this? I'm jealous.
It's not so expensive over there. It really isn't. That's the secret. You can stay in places for almost next to nothing. The important thing is, how do you keep things going here when you're away?
I've been studying French for a year now, and I want to go to France.
Oh, you can. You absolutely can. It's not. And in fact, I encourage it. And I'm actually going to France at the beginning of this trip. And in fact, here's my favorite French singer right now.
Oh,
Edith Piaf. Oh, she's amazing. And the reason, the reason I'm going to France is because of all the nonsense that, that occurred, you know, where we were insulting them and renaming everything French to freedom. I would not have gone to France this year, except I want to go there now to show support for people that have the guts to tell the truth.
And I've gotten a lot of arguments with people about that. They were making fun of the French, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully I can show them that, you know, not all Americans are buttheads.
Yeah, it's really a shame. This country's getting dumber by the minute.
Well, you know, I think we can fight to fix that. Well,
no, there's just people like me and you out there. And
oh, no, there's other kinds of people, too. I've seen them.
Let me go so somebody else can get in.
Yeah, you've gotten a lot of calls coming in. Thanks thanks for getting the discussion started.
All right, I'll see you there, buddy.
All right, take care. And that was an old friend from years ago who continues to listen to the radio station, and that's pretty cool. I just want to read you something about Belarus, and I'll take some more phone calls. This is from Let's Go Eastern Europe. All kinds of advice. Discrimination exists in Belarus, especially against people with dark skin. Yeah, if you want to fit in, don't smile too much. Oh, I'm going to love this place. And good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Manuel.
How you doing?
Hi, I was just wondering if we could talk about the Xbox for a moment.
About the which? The Xbox?
The Xbox.
Well, I've never actually played with an Xbox myself. We've printed
Xbox
articles.
Xbox Linux that I wanted to talk about.
Okay, go ahead. Putting Linux onto the Xbox.
Yeah, well, there was a couple of teams called FreeX, and there was another group.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked Microsoft to release a bootloader, so you didn't have to use an illegal mod chip to run Linux.
Right.
And Microsoft completely refused. And on July 4th, they've released many exploits, so you don't need a mod chip to run anything on the Xbox anymore.
Uh-huh.
So I was wondering what your view was on that, and if you think Microsoft will pursue legal action or anything.
It seems to me like they've got a real problem with people playing with the Xbox. I don't know why they have such a problem with it, but my prediction is, yeah, they will do something, but my other prediction is that it's not going to go anywhere. It's just going to make them even more enemies and encourage more people to do exactly the same thing. I mean, I don't understand what's the big deal putting Linux on an Xbox. Why, you know, what are they afraid people are going to do?
I don't know. I mean, every single distribution's on the Xbox now.
Uh-huh.
So it's really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Have a look sometime.
I like to play with one. If I ever get, you know, time, maybe when I'm, you know, over there, I'll have time to do something if someone has an Xbox over there. But,
I'm going to go out, so I want to say.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right, see you later.
And for those of you wondering what else is going on overseas this year, it's the Chaos Communications Camp, which is taking place near Berlin on August 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. That's Thursday through Sunday. If you want information on that, go to www.ccc.de/camp. www.ccc.de/camp. Yeah, I got it. And I'll give you all the information on that hacker event that's taking place. Biggest hacker event this year. And usually there's one every year, one in a different part of the world every year, and that's the one for this year. Last year it was H2K2 in New York. The year before that it was HAL 2001 in Holland. Hacking is a worldwide thing. And it's great to run into people from all over the world who will exchange information and ideas and just show you something different, show you a different culture. Heading to France, heading to, I think I gave the rundown a couple of weeks ago. France, Germany, Poland, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Finland, Russia, Belarus, and then back. Yeah, it's a whirlwind tour, but places I just have to see. And when I looked at the globe, you know, I realized what a small part of the globe this really is, but it's still going to take such a long time to get to all these places. And starting to learn the Cyrillic alphabet a little bit, so at least I'll be able to read something while over there, but not going to know much of the language at all, so it's going to be very interesting figuring out how to get through a day. All right, 631-632-WUSB. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, I understand. You always talk about newspeak.
Uh-huh.
And I've noticed the past few days on television and radio, you know, the country Niger, They're starting to pronounce it Niger.
Yeah, you know, the British pronunciation is Niger, and the American, I believe, when the few times we say the word, because I don't think we've said it very often, is Niger. Either one works.
I figured, you know, well, you know, it's just what some people said, you know, they're afraid on the teleprompters, you know, they might mispronounce it, so.
Well, do you remember the whole thing with Anita Hill years ago, harassment, you know, harass? There was a whole big discussion on how to pronounce that word.
Oh, yeah. Like that also Qatar, I don't know. I've always said Qatar, but I've heard them say it Cutter.
Yeah, you know. Cutter, right. I've heard that, Qatar, all kinds of different ways.
I wonder, you know, who starts these trends on television, because once one of them does it, they all seem to do it.
Well, there's a pronunciation guide that I know the Associated Press passes around to radio stations. I'm not sure if it's available on AP.org. It might be. And, you know, you could use that as a standard, perhaps. But these things change. You know, like, even names of cities change. Like, you know, Beijing used to be Peking, you know.
One more thing, you know, you always talk about technology. Certain things in Europe are better, like in Japan, you know. I know in Japan they always get everything new first, but a lot of times, like with the cellular network, what happens is here in the United States, we come up, you know, we popped up with all these, you know, old analog cell phones. Remember when you had to wait for a channel and all that kind of nonsense?
Right.
And then we got behind, and what happened when the new technology came out, the infrastructure was too expensive to build, and so they didn't have it yet, so they went ahead and built theirs.
Yeah,
that
that's
happens
true.
A lot of times, like you know, say Saudi Arabia. That's what happened. You know, they just went ahead and built the GSM network. You know,
and lots of times they just completely it skips us. You know, we don't even see the technology.
Yeah, you know, it gets expensive. It all comes down to money. You mm-hmm. know,
absolutely.
Yep. All right. Thanks.
Thanks for calling. 631-632-WUSB is our phone number, as the lilting sound of Edith Piaf in the background. Much better than hearing the George Bush theme, but... yes. Yeah, I don't understand a word she's saying, but I just there's something about it that moves me to tears every time I hear it. I mean, she could be singing about, you know, fixing a leak in her plumbing or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Ah, L'amour. I know that word. She's singing about love. All right, let's take a look at a letter. I listened to Off the Wall yesterday over the internet, as I always do. I thought I would comment on some of the news stories you were commenting on. Comments about comments. Okay, I can dig it. I feel you might not have all the information about some of the stories, and stories that initially sounded silly might not be so when you look into them deeper. Well, that's possible. But maybe they're not as much fun. Let's see. For example, the Spike Lee suing TNN story at first sounds ridiculous, and none of the news stories in the mainstream media had more than superficial reports about it. But I read in the media industry news magazine Television Week that Lee was upset because a TNN executive specifically named him at a press conference for the network's introduction as part of a list of things that the word Spike brings to mind. With this bit of information, Lee's comments about not wanting to be associated with Spike TV makes sense, but I didn't see this reported on TV or in newspapers, and it seemed like the news media was trying to make Lee look foolish. Well, interesting point. I did some research into this. I looked into Television Week. And here's what I found. It wasn't quite exactly the way this person wrote in, according to that, anyway. According to Justice Taleb, the allegation in Mr. Lee's complaint that TNN President Albie Hecht admitted in media interviews that the affinity with Mr. Lee was one reason the defendants chose the name, and that Mr. Hecht has stated Spike TV refers, this is the quote, refers to a guy's name that has an attitude and a personality that is aggressive, irreverent, unapologetically male, and is smart and contemporary. So, yeah, that adds a bit more to the story where, you can see why he might have gotten upset by it. That's interesting how that particular part was not quoted, but I still think the whole thing is pretty damn silly. And, you know, they haven't started calling themselves Spike TV yet, have they? I mean, I can't keep turning on that channel. It's awful. I just want to see if they change their name ever. And they Last I checked, they haven't. Continuing with this letter, the story about the Italian prime minister calling the German official a Nazi likewise sounds bad, but I read in an op-ed piece in the Boston Globe that the prime minister said the German official reminded him of Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes because he knew nothing. I've called some of the people I've worked for, Sergeant Schultz was behind their backs, and they've said they see nothing and knew nothing. Of course, the people I called Sergeant Schultz's weren't German. Maybe the prime minister was being insensitive, but it sounds less inflammatory than the report that the prime minister accused him of being a guard in a concentration camp. Okay, well, neither one of these quotes is accurate. The quote, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but I've seen it enough times where I can get it pretty much right. He said that they're making a film here in Italy about World War II, about concentration camps, and I will pass your name on for the part of a prison guard. Words to that effect. And that's pretty much indisputed that that is what he said. And to say that to someone from Germany in that kind of a forum just strikes me as being, you know, dumb to the degree that I just cannot even fathom how dumb you can possibly be. All right. Thanks for that letter. That's from Dan. And, of course, you're encouraged to send letters to us, OTW at 2600.com. OTW meaning off the wall at 2600.com. And what else is going on? You know, there's about 1 billion people in Port Jefferson today on the way over here. Really, a lot. I mean, there's always a lot of people, but I'm talking a huge amount of people. Turns out this is the Port Jefferson Irish Fest. Yeah, the Port Jefferson Irish Festival, I guess. But get this, it's sponsored by Coors Light. I mean, talk about an ethnic slur. That's a horrible thing to be sponsored by. I mean, come on. Can't do any better than that. Ugh. Pepsi Light, maybe. But yeah, there's all these people, like, you know, waddling around town, blocking traffic, blocking sidewalks, blocking boat traffic, everything. It's quite an event. I'm not quite sure what they're doing. But it's just this, summer tourist thing here on Long Island where you get a boat, you get some, you know, some water and watery beer and an occasional sunny day. I don't know. Maybe I'll see what they're up to later. 631-632-WUSB, and good evening. You're on the air.
Is this Manuel?
Yes, it is.
Hey, I just tried calling, but it timed out on my wonderful AT&T phone.
Yeah, you know, they time out after about, what, 15 rings? There's nothing we can do about it, unfortunately. Well, I guess we could get a call screener, but then you'd be on hold.
Right. Well, anyway, my name's Kurt. I'm from Iowa. I pledged to WUSB on the last telephone there.
Are you the guy who didn't get his pledge?
Beautiful sweatshirt, man.
Oh, you did get
the pledge.
I saw
you're offering
the
T-shirts, and I'll probably have to get one of those.
Yeah, well, there are some people who didn't get their pledge. And if you didn't get a pledge, please give us a call. At 2600, 631-751-2600, extension 0, and give us your information. But I think most everybody got what they need.
Well, to all the listeners, it was really worth the pledge. You really should go for it. My sticker is actually kind of faded on some alleged sign.
You know, the same thing happened
to me. Stayed up anyway.
Yeah, the same thing happened here. You know, I'm sorry about that. It turns out, you know, we've had these stickers in a closet since 1990. And I guess what happens when you keep stickers that long is that they fade pretty fast. But the sentiment has not faded, has it?
Well, it's odd because some of them were ripped off and the ones that weren't faded. So, Anyway, the reason that I'm calling is I'm thinking about and listening into the service. I'm about 85% sure. And I know from reading 2600 and from basically listening to your show, there are some people in our clique, I guess, for vocabulary
mm-hmm.
that might have problems in that area. I was just wondering what the problems might be, or if we are so gung-ho, for lack of a better analogy, how we can go ahead and cope with enlisting into the service.
I'm not sure what you mean by problems. Problems from the service? Problems from people?
Well, I remember reading in 2600 a while back that there were a bunch of people that tried to get out of the out of the service.
Oh, yeah.
Because of one reason or another. And I believe that you said that we've basically meaning 2,600 people, a lot of the people have problems with the service because of our mind state or something. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of wondering what you meant by that. I mean,
well, people who have a real individualistic sense sometimes don't really fall into the following order lifestyle as easily as others might. So, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not possible. I'm just saying that, sometimes people who tend to rebel against authority, they might find themselves up against an opponent that they cannot get past if they enlist into the military. That's
right.
Just something that you just got to think about it. You know, you got to think, is this really something I want to do? If it is, then go for it. And if not, then, do something else.
Well, yeah, that's a good answer. Thank you, Emmanuel.
Sure.
The only other comment I have to say is I love the music that you play, the Clash, some of that techno stuff, and I really liked the Oscar Mayer salute last week.
Wasn't that cool? That was amazing. That comes from the, I got that at the Forbidden Art Show in New York City a few months ago.
Oh.
And, it's just, it's amazing what you can do with music. It really is.
Well, yeah, one of my main reasons for basically listening to this service, although it's not like that, but it's like I hear you going all around the world to like Amsterdam. I know the big conference is coming up in Germany in August, I believe.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's just so much cool stuff that you guys do that I would really like to do kind of like that. But I think that the military might give me a chance to go off and see different cultures and hopefully prove that we're not the big warmongering jerks, even if that's what,
I mean, theoretically, that might be possible. But then if someone tells you that, you have to be this particular person when you're over there, I don't know. You know, speaking personally, I know I'd have problems, expressing myself as an individual if I was, being commanded to do things in a certain way. You might be able to change things. I don't know. I don't have the experience to tell you that you can't change things over there.
I'm sure you would have a problem judging by your April 1st show.
No, I would get in a lot of trouble, I'm sure.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and make way for other callers, and I appreciate the show, both of them, and your magazine whenever I have a chance to get my hands on it.
All right, thanks so much for the call.
Hey,
and
thanks,
good luck.
Emmanuel. Have a good day.
All right, take care. And this important announcement, too, we didn't erroneously announce last week on the other show off the hook that we were preempted. We were told we were preempted. And now, yes, as I predicted on that program, we were told today that we are not preempted. So if you're a fan of Off the Hook, then rejoice that you can hear it tomorrow on the other radio station. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. This is the guy from earlier called Mike. How are you?
Oh, you're the guy I mixed up with the other guy.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Can you tell your voice sounds somewhat the same?
I don't know.
Yeah, people whose voices sound the same never agree.
Well, you mentioned something about a window.
A window?
Think about, earlier you have a window where, you could call.
Oh, yeah, calling window. Yes, yes.
You have, where you could reach people, and you're not going to be able to do it in a whole scale, right? Why don't you preach maybe, because there's a lot of people listening to you in the car.
Uh-huh.
Hey, put the finger away, wave, and start it that way.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, wasn't there a movie like that, Play It Again, or Play It with That Little Boy, or something like that?
I don't know.
Terry, come on. What's the name of that movie with the little boy? Play It Again?
Play It Again? I don't know.
Anyway, it was a little boy, and his whole idea is, maybe to turn the other cheek, wave, hello, payback.
Payback, okay.
That was the movie. I got the chief next to me.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Think about it. The window you have. Hey, you're not going to cure what Bush is going to do, but from where you sit, you couldn't make everyone, lower the hostile level, make people feel good, because you have that window. You are the man.
Well, I just wanted to get people to think and express themselves, and
glad
we were able to do that.
Maybe like an infection, you got to start within and work out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We ain't going to, little people like us going to Stony Brook or wherever we're going to go to are not going to survive, be able to change it right away. But if we start in our little circle, eventually it's going to change.
All right. Well, those are some positive thoughts to end on. Thanks thanks for the call. And drive carefully. All right. And, yes, people driving their cars, they can call us. Just be careful when you do it. And some places it's illegal, to... Oh, yeah. Well, that's the George W. Bush theme. And let's just put an end to that. Go on something a little bit more positive. It's Emmanuel Goldstein for Off the Wall. We'll be back again for our finale show next week, and then we'll be back in September for the next season or whatever. And tomorrow night on Off the Hook on WBAI. Have a good night.
Once there was an old lady who lived in a shoe. Had so many children, she didn't know what to do. Gave them some broth.